Buonasera. Thank you, President Pacini, and I'm very grateful to the Italian Missionary Association for this great opportunity that has been given to me to talk to you for a few minutes. I'd like to share with you a story about the construction of the first LDS chapel ever built on the Italian soil. The story has been virtually unknown until recently, and I had the privilege of knowing personally some of the few survivors of this story. And I had the privilege of having this story being told to me with the voice and the feelings that motivated its first inception. So I'd like to share that with you tonight. This story takes place during World War II. The year was 1944, and since it has a war setting, an historical setting, I'd like to very briefly present to you some of the events that were taking place that actually prepared the way for this chapel to be built. July 10th, 1943 was a very important date. This was the date when the 7th Army, United States 7th Army, under the command of George S. Patton, and the British 8th Army, which was led by General Bernard Montgomery. I have to fix my tongue for a second. Bernard Montgomery landed on the island of Sicily. This invasion of Sicily was also known as Operation Husky. September 3rd, 1943, the British troops were advancing up on the Italian continent. They were going up in Calabria, in the region of Calabria. At the same time, still in Sicily, in a small city called Cassibile, in the province of Syracuse, an important document was being signed, which was the armistice between Italy and the Anglo-American forces. This the news of the armistice became official on September 8. In fact, it was broadcasted on Italian radio at 7:45 p.m. on that eventful night. The day after, the Anglo-Americans landed in Salerno, in the region of Campania, not too far from Naples. And at that time, de facto, by a matter of fact, the Italians were fighting side by side with the Americans and the British. And this was announced by the Marshal Pietro Badoglio on October 13th. He announced the state of war against Nazi Germany. The landing in Sicily, the landing in Salerno, as well as other operations like the landing at Anzio by Rome, were all supported by these groups of bombers. They had many groups, and three in particular are the ones that we want to concentrate our attention on. They were the 320th, 319th, and the 17th bomb group. These groups utilized Martin B-26 Marauder airplanes, which many of us still remember because they had the different positions in the front, in the belly, and in the back, where they had machine guns. These groups of bombers were previously situated in Tunisia. And with the advancing of the troops up the Italian peninsula, they also advanced. From Tunisia, they moved to Sardinia. And they located themselves in some airfields which were pre-existent. And they were located in the province of Cagliari. Now, for the majority of us know that Cagliari is in the southern part of the island of Sardinia. And they located in two main airfields. One was called Trunconi, which was nearby the city of Villa Cidro, and the other one was called Decimomannum, which was near the city of Villasor. Interesting to find this name, Decimomannum. It has some interesting connotations for us LDS people. This field in Decimomannum, again, this is a small city. It was like a crossroad place where the railway divided, going up north to Oristano and going west towards Iglesias. So it was kind of like a little crossroads of the west in Sardinia. And a small place. And the field was a large extension of dirt. And they had a bunch of olive trees and cactus plants. And the troops situated themselves there first in a bunch of these tents. And one interesting thing of this airfield was the fact that the expanse was so vast, was so big, that six B-26 bombers were able to take off or land at the same time in parallel position. So I want you to imagine what it was like, to see this big extension of flat land and to see these bombers come down or take off. Just the noise would certainly get your attention. But this peculiarity earned the base the nickname of Colonel Randy's Flying Circus because of these bombers. As in any other situation similar to this, Latter-day Saints that were part of that group tried to gather together. This is something that, it's also peculiar. We have this thing with the gathering, So they tried to find each other at the time. And they started in a very small way. They were meeting inside, they were having meetings inside a two-man tent which belonged to the chaplain. So there weren't that very many at the time, probably two or three. And this is still in the middle of war operations, so it wasn't that easy for these military LDS people to gather together. But because of this desire of being together, this chapel came about. Now, I want you to hear some excerpts of letters which were written at the time by LDS lieutenant from Salt Lake City. His name was Marvel F. Anderson, and he was stationed there in Decimo. I've asked President Gillespie, could you please join me over here, to kindly give voice to Marvel F. Anderson in reading these letters. Now, many of you already know that President Gillespie himself was in the Air Force, and he is one of the people intimately attached to the history of the church in Italy. He was there in 64 before he went back as mission president. He served there, he was there in Vicenza. So I think his voice will represent the voice of this military man who was writing home to the LDS servicemen office in Salt Lake City, describing what they were doing about this chapel.
Sardinia, February 12th, 1944. We've been holding meetings for the last few Sundays, and though we don't have very many outdoor meetings, we seem to get along fine. Last Sunday I took charge and we had the sacrament, then three of us talked for a while. We were the only ones present, but we had the chaplain of the group visiting with us. We sang a song and also sang a song at the close. I blessed the water and closed with prayer and gave a talk for about 20 minutes. We will probably have more members out from now on, at least I hope so. We are studying the book, Jesus the Christ. It seems good to get together and have a good meeting. Sardinia, February 14th, 1944. At our meeting last night, we thought we would all put in a few dollars and build a brick chapel in which to meet. We are checking up on the cost during the week and will make plans for its erection during the next week. If we make it, it will be at least the first LDS chapel built in Sardinia, and for the six members here who were at the meeting last night, that won't be so bad for us to do, do you think? When we build our place, we were thinking of getting a few fair-sized pictures of the first presidency and of Joseph and Hiram Smith and a couple of Deseret songbooks so we can use them. So if you have any chance to see any of them, and if it isn't too much trouble, I would like you to send them to me. There's a good need for them to decorate our place with. Then Captain Earl has a portable organ which he takes with him, and we'll have it in our meeting house, and we will be able to use it also to very good advantage. We will probably have 25 to 50 fellows who we can get to come out and join us and perhaps do a lot of good. Sardinia, February 28th, 1944. Last night we had another good meeting and had a couple more out. That made eight of us. It seems as if each week we get another one or two. We are starting to build our chapel this week. We may have it done by next Sunday. I surely hope so. Then we can get a few more out and we'll have a nicer time. I'll take a few pictures of it and send them to you when the chapel is completed. Sardinia, March 10th, 1944. We have our chapel almost finished. However, it won't be ready for use this Sunday. We won't be able to move into it until next week. We will certainly have a nice place to meet in now when that is finished. At last week's meeting, we had 12 fellows out, which wasn't too bad, was it? We keep getting more each week. I took a few pictures of the new place on my day off yesterday, and so I'll send them on to you as soon as they are finished. We have a tile roof on our chapel, so it's quite nice looking. It is quite small, but it will hold about 30 fellows. I'm going to town tomorrow and try to have some windows made and the frames to hold them and have the glass set in the frames. Sardinia, March 27th, 1944. Last night we opened our new chapel and had quite a nice time. We had the organ and that helped quite a lot. Next week we're trying to have the chaplain, Eldon Ricks, come over from Italy to meet with us. I hope that he can make it.
Thank you, President Gillespie. About a month ago, I had the privilege of meeting one of these men. He lives in Rigby, Idaho. His name is Alfred Knudsen. And of course, he told me the story, a lot of details that I didn't know. And he showed me his journal. He kept a journal of the day-to-day happenings that, you know, he was a mechanic there. And so his journal is filled with a bunch of notes on the all the things that he was supposed to repair, or, you know, the parts that he was supposed to get. But there's also a bunch of notes concerning building the chapel, going to get the cement, going to have the windows made, painting a sign, making a stove. This chapel wasn't any big building. It was about 12 feet by 20 feet big. This gentleman built a small 8 inches square gasoline stove to go inside of it. And so he has a lot of memories of this. One date that is really dear to Brother Knudsen was April 2nd, 1944. That was the date when they had the official dedication of the chapel. What happened? They went to Naples in one of their B-26 bombers to pick up Chaplain Eldon Ricks, who was stationed there at a military hospital. Many of us know Brother Ricks for having been a professor at BYU. He was professor of ancient scriptures. Some of us even have a compendium of scriptural reference, which he wrote, which is very big. But he was chaplain at the time, so they went to pick him up with this bomber, and they brought him back to Sardinia to dedicate the chapel. And again, that was April 2nd, 1944. That would be 61 years ago tomorrow. So Brother Ricks went there, and being a chaplain, one of the duties was to keep in touch with the troops, with the LDS troops. So the day after, 2 days after the dedication, he wrote some sort of a, they used to write some sort of newsletters to the troops. They had about 650 LDS troops at the time, located in Italy and North Africa. So he wrote a little piece in this newsletter. I have asked Brother Paul Kelly to read this piece for us. Paul, could you please come up? The reason why I asked Brother Kelly, besides being a good friend, which I met recently, besides being a customer to the same barber, Brother Kelly was also one of the pioneers of the church in Italy, himself having been a serviceman in Vicenza in 1963, yeah, no. In Aviano, at the base of Aviano in 1963. And he, Brother Kelly, was counselor and was counselor of the Italian district of the Swiss mission. This is before an Italian mission even existed. And there are a lot of other stories that we're not going to cover. You know, we're going to concentrate on this, but there's so many stories that Brother Kelly could tell. But with this voice, we're going to hear what Chaplain Eldon Ricks wrote 2 days after the dedication of the chapel.
Oh,
one thing I need to say, I need to set up this. This letter this is not Chaplain Rick's letter. We're going to read that in a second. This is an excerpt from a book which was written by Captain Ken Earle, who was responsible for the construction of the chapel. Captain Earle was the one that played the foot pump organ, and he was quite a character. And in this thing, he explains how these military men funded the construction of the chapel. So this is how they funded the chapel.
Each week, everyone was issued cigarette rations, beer rations, and, if available, some candy or other goodies. We usually gave the Contra Word of Wisdom items to friends, but then in January 1944, we had a bright idea of using them to build an LDS chapel located down at Detechimo, where the 319th and 320th, those are bomb groups, were located. We got permission for a particular location and then traded our cigarettes and beer rations in return for labor, brick mortar, and a tile roof. When the building was, which was probably 12 by 20 feet in size, was completed in April 1944, I invited LDS Chaplain Eldon Ricks to come over from Naples on our B-26s and dedicate the chapel. He did so, and we had a large turnout of LDS servicemen from the three groups for the dedication. We used it for our services from then until we moved to Corsica.
And now we can read what Chaplain Ricks wrote 2 days after the dedication.
Good news came unexpectedly from Sardinia a few days ago in the form of an invitation to dedicate a chapel that the small group of LDS men on the island had just finished building. It is an attractive little stucco-type structure with a tile roof, cement floor, a seating capacity of about 25, a gasoline stove, and electric lights. In the States, it would perhaps thoroughfare of any of our western cities. I think we left something out of that sentence. They finished it by contributing from the group and by pulling their cigarette rations, which, they explained, seemed to have the most remarkable buying power. They are to be congratulated for the resourcefulness and faith and also building what would probably is the first permanent LDS chapel in Italy. My personal appreciation goes as well to Captain Ken Earle, who made all the arrangements for transportation by automobile and by air and showed me a very delightful 2-day stay on the island.
Thank you. So this small building was located alongside the airfield's runway. And these men had now a place where they could gather together and exercise their faith according to the dictates of their own conscience. So they started with 6 people, the original founders of the group, and they ended up with a group of about 35 to 40 people to attend church. This group from Decimo attended a special conference which was held on Pioneer Day, July 24, 1944, in the city of Foggia. This was perhaps the first area conference of the church in Italy. So the Decimo group, the Decimo congregation, was there for this great event. Soon after, on September 23, 1944, because of the advancing of the troops up north, the air bases from Sardinia had to be relocated in Corsica, and they moved just south of Bastia on the northeast coast of Corsica. So only 5 months from the time of its dedication, this little church building was abandoned to whatever happened to it. And we don't know what the fate of this building was eventually. We know, however, that now, today, Decimo Manno is still an Air Force base in Sardinia. As a matter of fact, it's one of the most important and most technologically advanced bases of the Mediterranean. And they have a four-lane road that takes into the entrance of the base. And under that road was the place where the first LDS chapel built in Italy used to be. I thank you for your time. I hope you enjoyed this little story. I've written an article which has been posted on my website, and you can certainly find it. I have copies of that article here with me, and you're sure welcome to come and see me after, and I'll be happy to give you copies of the article, and you can read much more and much better than what I was able to say tonight. I appreciate your interest and this opportunity again. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.